Now, I've been sharing since the first of the year about getting our priorities right, and we're delivering and teaching a message that I'm calling the Words of Jesus. And we've been laying a foundation so that we can get our priorities right. How many believe that the words of Jesus is important? And so, John chapter 14, I want to just review just a little bit here, and then we'll just pick back up. In verse 21 of John chapter 14, if you've got it, say, I've got it. If you don't, say, I'm looking. Amen. You can look up on the screen. Praise the Lord. They're cutting my head off again. Glory to God. He who keeps my commandments... He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Now, I don't know if you realize that or not right here. This is the law of sowing and reaping. The Bible teaches you and I that the love of God will be manifest to us if we manifest our love to God. Now, I know a lot of times people don't like to receive it that way, but really, in essence, when you love God, God will manifest himself to you, but it causes God to open a door in your life so that God can bring those blessings to pass. And when we don't love God, it causes those doors to close. Are you with me? Say, well, I don't like that part. Well, just keep reading here. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, now look at this closely, red letters, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So what we have learned, that saying that we love the Lord is not enough. Just singing about the Lord or repeatedly saying that we love the Lord is not proof that we really love the Lord. This is a point of confusion for many in the body of Christ, because they think the greatest expression of saying that you love the Lord is equivalent to loving the Lord. How many know that just because we say we love somebody doesn't really mean we love them? You know, just tell your wife you love her, but never do anything with her or for her. Do you think she might question your love? She sure might question your words. So what we have here is, no matter, you know, we want to think of it in the terminology that God has unconditional love. And we want to define unconditional love in our own version and not the Bible. In other words, we want God to love us no matter what we do or how we act. And we want that to be on our terms. In other words, we want to be able to do whatever we want to do and, you know, just play out life the way we want to do it, and we want God to love us anyway. Well, that's not what the Word of God says. I'm encouraging you, as we begin the year of 2009, to check your assumptions. Because many times we assume things that are in the Word of God, but they're not in the Word of God. I've heard, you know, secular people on talk shows and things interviewing preachers and say, well, you know, the Bible says this or says that, and the preacher will agree with them, and when the Bible doesn't say that at all. See, we have to come back and make sure that our traditions don't replace what the Word of God says. You know, unconditional love does not mean that I can just do whatever I want to do and I can say that I love you, but I can love you any way I want to love you and do anything I want to do. That's the way I show you I love you. How many know it doesn't work that way? Amen. Yeah, but God accepts everybody. That's what unconditional love is. No, wait a minute. You're misunderstanding. God will accept any person, but that person has to repent first. God never condones something that's not of and in His Word. Let me tell you what God will condone. God will condone what He said in His Word. Jesus will accept what He says in His Word. Exactly. Exactly what He said. So we have to make sure that it's not just about, well, I'm a Christian and I can love God any way I want to love Him. No, the Bible says that if we keep His commandments, that is how we show that we love God. If we keep His commandments, what is His commandments? His commandments is His Word. If you do what Jesus tells you to do, you love Him. If you don't do what Jesus tells you to do, you don't love Him. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that or not. Well, you don't have to believe me. Believe what Jesus said. Jesus said, if anyone keeps my words, He says, those are the ones that love me. What the proof is that I love God more than anything else, anybody else, and more than myself. And what I hear God say and what I understand God to say is what I do. That is proof that I love the Lord Jesus. Are you with me? So I want to make sure you understand these things. Now, here's the good news. The good news is exactly what He said there in verse 24. He said, and I will manifest myself to that one. The Amplified says that I will show myself to them and I will make myself real to them. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That is the most precious state of being we can be in, is when God manifests Himself to us and shows Himself real to us. There is nothing more precious in life than having a real relationship. I'm talking about a walking, talking relationship where you can go to God and God will tell you that you are His own, and you can go to God in confidence because your heart is not condemning you, and you know that whatever you ask in faith, whatever you believe and put your trust in the name of Jesus, He will do. And so, listen. So, what the world is looking for is the reality of the Lord. They're not looking for another religion, but they are hungry for something, but they don't realize that God is real and it comes by having a real relationship with Him. But you can't have a real relationship with God unless you're willing to keep and do His commandments. You can't have a relationship and not walk by faith. You can't have a relationship with God and still do the things that you would do independent of what God said. We cannot just say we love God and then just go about our life in our own selfish entities and doing our own thing. Have I made that point clear? If we say we love God, then we have to make the decision that I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Let me say one more time. If we're going to have a relationship, I'm not talking about trying to preach to you intellectually. You know, people don't need an intellectual preacher message. You know, you're not trying to touch people in their heads. You're trying to touch people in their hearts. Because I'm going to tell you something. Whatever you love doing the most is what you're going to be subservient to. Whatever you bow your knee to is what you are going to wind up serving. And so we have to make the decision, okay, what has He told me to do? And then ask the question, am I doing it? Now, let's go on over to the book of 1 John, all the way back over there at the end of the Bible, the New Testament, right before the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 2. Now, here is proof we love Him or we don't love Him. How many of you want to know this morning if you really love Jesus? You say, well, I love Jesus. Well, let's see what the Bible says, okay? 1 John chapter 2, and we'll go back to John here in just a minute, but let's read a couple things here. It says, now by this we know, I'm in chapter 2, verse 3, 1 John, it says, now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. The word know there is another word for having a relationship with Him. In other words, the way that we have a relationship with the Lord is through a daily experience of not just knowing Him, but keeping and doing His commandments. Now look what it says. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar. That's pretty plain, isn't it? I said, you don't need a lot of help deciphering that, do you? And the truth is not in Him. I'm just trying to make a point to you. Don't get caught up like so many Christians do that say, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. No, you don't love Jesus unless you keep His commandments. You don't love the Lord unless you do what He said to do. Okay? He says, but whoever keeps His word truly, the love of God is perfected in him. Or you could say, if you look at it in the original, you could say the love for God has been completed. In other words, when I get to the place in my Christian walk that I am walking in obedience to what God has said, then I love, or my love for God has been perfected. Are you here, saints? All right, let's go over to chapter 3 here. And let's look at another verse in verse 18. He says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue. I'm just trying to confirm to you here what the Word of God says. It's not about how eloquent we can say it. It's not tongue in cheek. He said, not in word or in tongue, but in what? In deed or actions and in truth. Indeed and in actions. Now go back over to chapter 2. See, why would somebody or a Christian not obey the Lord? Why would any Christian, a person who calls himself a Christian, not obey the Lord? Would you like for me to answer it to you? Okay, I'll answer it for you this way. The reason that a Christian would not obey the Lord is because they love something else more. Very simple. Because they love something else more than they love the Lord. John 3:19. Don't turn there. Just if they can put it up right quick. John 3:19. It says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come to the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds or their works or their actions were evil. Notice that they love darkness more than light. Isn't that true today? Isn't that true today that a lot of people, you know, they say they love the Lord, but in actuality, they love darkness more than light. They don't want to come to the light because that exposes the darkness. I mean, no, darkness can't stick around when there's light. So instead of having darkness exposed, it's just easier to say something with your word or tongue in cheek than it is to actually apply it and do it. And that way your darkness can stay dark. But when you come in darkness to the light, how many know the darkness has to leave? All right? So what it's talking about here, go to verse 15. Let me read this one more time while we're here in chapter 2, verse 15. It says here, do not love the world or the things in the world. Now, let me stop there because this is not a condemnation message this morning. Some of y'all are looking real sad this morning. I want you to be excited. I want you to be cheerful. I want you to receive the Word of God with gladness in your heart, okay? So when He says, do not love the world are the things of the world, He's not talking about not enjoying the things that God has created. God has given us all things to freely enjoy. So there's a difference between the earth and God's creation and the world, or the system that we call the world, or the world without God, or ungodliness. You know, without God in somebody's life is considered world or worldliness. So what it's saying to us is that we are not to love that, and though we can get caught up in that, if we don't allow ourselves to do the Word of God, then we'll be dragged back into that. Remember, I think I give you the example Paul used of Demas in the New Testament. Demas was a man who followed God in his missionary journeys and was in those church services. Could you imagine being in a church service with the Apostle Paul, seeing the revelation of God's Word go forth and the things that were happening in the life of the Apostle Paul? But the Bible says that Demas left Paul because he loved the world more. He loved the world more than he loved the things of God. I can give you an Old Testament passage of Scripture. You know, there was a place called Sodom and Gomorrah. How many remember that place? Well, that's like the world, right? Why would anybody leave the things of God and go back to the world? Do you know anybody that's ever sat in church for a while and enjoyed the praise and the worship and the Word of God, but all of a sudden, they just stopped? Well, see, God went to Sodom and Gomorrah to get Lot and his family out of that place. I'm going to tell you something. Any Christian or any saved person that would like to live in Sodom and Gomorrah, something's wrong with them. I said, something's wrong if you like living in that kind of environment surrounded by that kind of lifestyle. But nevertheless, God sent someone because of His mercy to get Lot out of that situation. And how many know that Lot was given instructions to get his family and not to look back, looking back at what he left? We are never to look back and say, oh, what am I giving up? Oh, the pleasures of sin. How many know that sin gives pleasure for a while, but the end results in death? And so what happened? Lot left Sodom and Gomorrah with his daughters, but his wife looked back. Now, we know Lot was not comfortable living in Sodom and Gomorrah because the Bible says that his heart was vexed, or his heart was troubled, surrounded by all that ungodliness. But God made a way for him to escape. And by that escape, see, they left, but for some reason, his sons didn't go, and his wife looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. For some reason, she had something back there in Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't know if she was in the ladies' club or the garden club of Gomorrah or the country club of Sodom or what, but she looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. And so the sons and the wife did not make it out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Are you listening to me? Okay. So I'm saying this to say to you that what gives you the power to break the grip of the sin of the world upon your life is the very fact that you love God more than you love the world, more than you love anything else, including yourself. The fact that you love God more than anything else will give you the ability, as well as God's power and grace, to be free from the bondage of the world. Now, I've heard people say, well, you know what? People need to get delivered. Well, let me just tell you this. If a person does not want to be delivered because they love that sin more than they love God, you can pray for them until hell freezes over. They're not going to get delivered until they want to be delivered. You pray for somebody that's a drug addict or an alcoholic, as long as they want to do that and they like doing that. There's people that like smoking a cigarette every day, every morning, before every meal. They love it. I don't know why they love it, but they love it. Well, you're not going to pray for them to be delivered from it until they want to be delivered from it. And then when they want to be delivered from it, God will break the power of that thing in their life because they love God and they want to do what God says rather than what their flesh or what the world says. Are you here? Say, I love God. The way we love God is by keeping His commandments. So he said, look here again. He said, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. Now, what's happening to the world? Look at the next verse. And the world is passing away. Say it. Say the world is passing away. The world system is passing away. Why would I want to put my affection and my resources and all of my life into something that's passing away? Somebody say, that's not smart. That's not wisdom. Look what he says. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Do we love God? I said, do we love God? If we love God, we will keep His commandments. Do we love God with all of our heart, with all of our strength, with all of our might, with all of our mind? Do we love God more than anything else? Come on, I'm asking you a question. Do you love God more than anything else? Now, I'm going to tell you something else. You cannot look back. You cannot look back. You cannot look back and say, well, I didn't do this in 06, I didn't do this in 07, and I didn't do it in 08, but this is 09. And I'm going to tell you something, in 09, you can love Jesus all the time. Amen. We are to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. We don't look back, praise God, we look forward. When we fall down, we let the hand of Almighty God pick us back up. So quit looking back. Quit trying to calculate all the past and all the mistakes and start a forward march. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we choose to put God first this year. This is the message of 09. This is what I'm preaching and teaching to you, is that get your priorities right starts with what does God say? Am I doing what God says? Because that is the proof that I love my Lord. I love Jesus when I obey what He says. And it's all about what we do with what He has said. It's all about what we do. I love the Lord more than anything else, anybody else, or even more than myself. Now, if you haven't come to that place in your walk with God, then you better question your walk with God. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Jesus said, I will have no other God before me. You say, but that's too hard, Pastor. No, the Bible teaches that the way of the transgressor is hard. Amen. The only reason it becomes hard is because you're looking back. It's because you love something more than you love God. Have I made that clear to you? All right, I had to lay this foundation to you so we can get over in the book of John. In fact, let's go back to the book of John now. And I want to look specifically at the book of John. In fact, stop right there. Remember I told you we were going to ask ourselves three questions. Anybody remember the three questions we said we were going to ask? Stop on the way back to John 1 in John 21. There's three questions. We're going to look, by the grace of God, at the red letters. The red letters. Say red letters. Red letters are the very words that Jesus spoke. And we're going to ask ourselves, when we see these red letters, we're going to ask ourselves, first of all, remember what the first one was? Do we know who is speaking these words? Hello? When we see the red letters Number one, we need to ask the question, who is saying this? Look at the last verse in chapter 21 of John. I could quote this, but I want you to see it right quick. It says, and there are so many other things that Jesus did, it's verse 25, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. Did you see that? Now, there's a lot of things. How many know the Bible is the whole Word of God? Come on. The Bible is the inspired Word, infallible Word of the living God. All of the Bible is, but we are looking at some specific things that Jesus said of all of the things that they could have written, and now we understand and now we know that there wouldn't even be volumes of books or even computers that could hold everything that Jesus said or done. So I think it's very special when we have some specific things or sayings of Jesus in our Bible. Could I hear a better amen? So we've got to know, first of all, who is saying these things? What's the second one? Do we understand or do we have revelation of what Jesus said? The second question, when you see the red letters, is, okay, how does this apply to me? Because I prove that I love Jesus by what? By keeping His commandments, by keeping His Word. Do you love Jesus? Come on, do you love Jesus? If you love Jesus, then you're going to have to learn to apply what He has said in His Word. And the only way you can apply that to your life is knowing that He said it, first of all, and second is to understand or get the revelation of how to make it applicable or to apply it to my life. And then the third one is, the third question, every time we see these sayings of Jesus, we need to ask ourselves these three questions. The third one is, am I doing what He says? Now, if I'm not doing it, why am I not doing it? But more importantly, if I'm doing it, can I do it better? Can I do it more? Are you here? Y'all are sure getting quiet on me. All right, now go to John chapter 1. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Are y'all excited? I don't feel it. I got to lay this foundation so you can understand what we're saying here. Now, in the beginning, let's go all the way back here to John chapter 1. We're looking for what? What are we looking for? Huh? Somebody tell me. What are we looking for? We're looking for red letters. All right, let's see if we can find it. But let me go back here. So I want you to understand this first thing first. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Say, the Word. The Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made or manufactured, you could say, are brought into existence through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Darkness has to move out of the way. It has to bow its knee to the light. Now, what we see right here is that everything in this earth, everything that has come into a manifestation or into existence was brought about by Jesus speaking the Word. Did you get that? Everything that we see has come into existence by Jesus speaking the Word. Jesus is the Word, the living Word. Now, sometimes you get people that want to contradict that. They say, well, what about the Big Bang? Well, what about the Big Bang? Maybe there was a Big Bang when God spoke and Jesus said, let there be light. Maybe there was a Big Bang. I don't know. But all I know is this, is that true science will never contradict the Word of God. It'll always agree or bear a witness to it. Not false science. There's true science and there's false science. False science will say things like, well, look, now we know we have all of the carbon tests, all the carbon, we know that there are things in this earth that are over 6 million years old, and you're saying it's 6,000 years old. Well, hey, dummy, with all your high-minded and educated philosophy and intellect, do you believe God who created the heaven and the earth and everything that was in it? Do you believe that He could create a tree and a fossil that's 6 million years old? He created everything in maturity. Chicken or egg? Okay, so I don't want to get off on that or we'll never get anywhere. Listen, I'm just trying to show you that true science can never disprove God's Word. False science is always trying to prove theory. How many know theory is not the same as truth? Remember, facts can change, but truth never does. All right, now going down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh. Say the Word became flesh. That's Jesus. What happened? It says, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Everything about Jesus is truth. Everything that we see has come about because Jesus spoke it into existence. And then we go on and read, and John, not talking about John the Baptist, not John the Apostle here. John, look what it says, bore witness of Him, and he cried out saying, this was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. Now, John is already in the earth. John the Baptist is baptizing, and he's making disciples into John's baptism. And he is more popular, his ministry is more popular than Jesus. But now Jesus comes on the scene ready to do His public ministry. And so John is saying now, in fact, you can go and read down in verse 28, I believe about there. It says, and these things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan where John was baptizing. And the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So now he's saying, look, what I have done, that's been good. But now there's somebody that's here. There's somebody that's come. And He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. In other words, even though John was more popular and John had all the following and all those people that flocked around him because they were listening to what he had to say, he said, now I must decrease so that He can increase. In other words, thank you guys for following me. Thank you guys for allowing me to get this to you. But now it's time for you to leave me and to follow Jesus. Are you with me? And so he says on down here in verse 35, in other words, John was making disciples. But these disciples all of a sudden realized that there was someone who had come that had the words of life. And so they had to make a choice of who they were going to believe and who they were going to follow. He says down here, now let's look. Again, verse 35, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. Now remember, disciples. I taught you a couple, 3 weeks on a true disciple. See, everything has groundwork. Everything has a foundation so you can understand what I say the next week or the next week. The disciple is marked by someone who has a higher level of commitment to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciple is marked by somebody that is committed and serious to the things of God. Are you with me? So these disciples were being, listen, being cultured and, if you will, educated in the things of God. Now, what we have to be careful is that even in modern times, we make sure that we are never discipling somebody to ourselves. All you that are out there ministering, all you that are out there preaching, you never make a disciple to yourself. You are making disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't read in the Bible where Paul was making disciples unto himself. Stay away from anybody that wants to make you a disciple of them. Okay, so a disciple is marked by somebody who is committed, who loves God, who is looking for something. Now, in verse 35, they heard John, and he stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." He said it again, John, talking to the disciples. He said, "Hey, guys, I'm glad you were here. I'm glad you were with me for all this time. But now, look, here's the Lamb of God." Okay? And the two disciples, say two disciples, verse 37, heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. In other words, they said, "John, been nice knowing you. It's been nice eating that locust and honey, but now we're following Jesus." Come on. All right. It says the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" Hey, here's the first red letters. Jesus spoke to, y'all missed that. Are y'all excited? I can't feel it. Jesus said what?
Hallelujah.
What do you seek? What do you seek? Who said it?
Jesus.
Who said it?
Jesus.
Jesus, who was the beginning, who was, who is, and is to come, the creator of heaven and earth, the word, the same God that said, "Light be," and the light be, said, "What do you want?" Well, you can say, "What do you want?" Now, is that important or not? Is that important or not? All of a sudden, these disciples start following Jesus. Jesus doesn't know them. They don't really know Jesus. He kind of looks out of the corner of his eye, see these two guys following him. He turns around and says, "What do you want? What do you seek?" Now, the reason you're not excited about that is, what if Jesus, what if I wasn't up here, but all of a sudden Jesus just came down here and said, "Hey, what do y'all want? What do you seek?" Now, here's a spiritual law for you. We have to go back and we can find from the Scripture. Jesus said, "Seek and you shall find." Spiritual law. What you seek for, you will find. Jesus said, "What do you seek? What do you look for?" The spiritual law is, whatever you're looking for is what you will find. What are you looking for this morning? Why are you following Jesus? Why are you making yourself a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you love God? If you love God, you will keep His commandments. And His commandments said, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Now that's important. This is the first red letters in the book of John, and Jesus said, "What are you looking for?" Now, a lot of people get messed up. You ask them what they're looking for,
Some of them say, well, I'm not looking for nothing. Or, even worse, they start looking for faults. Because whatever you look for is what you will find. Whatever you find is what you've been looking for. If you're looking for faults in your wife, yeah, if you're looking for faults in your husband, you see, that's called fault finders. How many know that's not a gift from God? That is not a gift from God. I'm telling you something this morning. Whatever you seek for, the spiritual law says, is what you will find. What are you looking for? Are you looking for faults? Are you looking for virtue? Are you looking for a diamond in the rough? See, a spiritual person looks above the fray, looks above the grass, and sees the diamond in the rough. Amen. And the other guy says, I don't see it, I don't see it. It's because you're not looking for it. It's because the same people can read their Bible for all those years and say, I don't see healing in the Bible. I don't see speaking in tongues in the Bible. Because you weren't looking for it. Because whatever you're looking for, you will find. Amen. We knew an elderly lady, a very pretty wealthy lady, up almost 90 years old, and she was going to doctor after doctor after doctor, wanting them to look at her to see if she had cancer. Perfectly healthy. Nothing wrong. Even had a blood transfusion. Drained all her blood out like you go to the oil can Harry's and get your oil changed. But you know, one day, she was diagnosed with cancer up at about 90 years old. And it popped out of my head. What you seek, you'll find. Perfectly healthy, perfectly normal, but kept seeking to find something. The spiritual law. See, Jesus turned to those two disciples and said, what are y'all looking for? What are you looking for? What if Jesus turned to you today and said, what are you looking for? Could you answer him? I said, could you answer him? I know what I'm looking for. I'm looking for health. I'm looking for wealth. I'm looking for joy. I'm looking for peace. I'm looking for increase. I'm looking for all the precious promises of God. I'm looking for joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy, joy, joy. Peace, peace, peace. I'm looking for all those things. What are you looking for?
Well, I don't know. I'm just coming to church to please my husband.
No, no, no. What are you coming to? What are you coming? What are you? That's what Jesus turned around and said. What are you? What do you want? Because, everybody tell me, whatever you're looking for is what you're going to find. What are you looking for this morning? Are you looking for peace in your family? Are you looking for peace in your life and in your marriage? Are you looking for joy? What are you looking for? That's what Jesus said. It's important. And they said to him, come on now. whatever you find, we can turn it around. Whatever you find is what you've been looking for. Mm-hmm. And they said to him, Rabbi. Now, we taught a whole lesson last week on nothing but rabbi. Now, how'd they know he was a rabbi? Because they saw them little tassels. Amen. They didn't see some woman's nightgown, you know, Darth Vader, you know. They saw a master teacher, someone who knew how to instruct in the things of God, saying, what do you seek? And I like, you know, when you're not very spiritual, you always answer with dumb things. They said, where are you staying at? Did you stay at the Holiday Inn? Are y'all here? I see. See, unspiritual people, they're not interested in what Jesus said. Here's Jesus. I'm trying to get across to you, first of all, who said it? Did anybody just say those words? It was the same person who created the heaven and the earth. Amen. The same person that created man and angels and every created being said, what do you want? Because whatever you seek, you will find. Yeah, Lord, but where do you live? Now, how many know Jesus never, ever gives you all of the picture at one time? Are you reading there? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher, where are you staying? Now, they were disciples. And they loved the Lord because they decided to follow Him. Are you with me? Okay. But they were looking for something. What were they looking for? They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the Lamb of God. Hello? What are you looking for this morning? Verse 39. And he said to them, you ready? Are you ready? What's next here? Oh, but these are what? Oh, red letters. Who said them? If we love Jesus, we will keep. Say keep. Did I give you the definition of keep? It means to treasure, to value. It means to hold on to. It means you remember these words. You don't leave here in a few minutes and forget the words of Jesus. You don't get into Monday or Tuesday and forget the words of Jesus. It means you keep them, you hold on to them, you treasure them, and finally you do them. If you don't do them, you need to ask why you are not doing them. The first letters that Jesus said is, what do you want? What do you seek? And now he says, they said, where do you stay, Jesus? And he said, come and see. Now, do you know who said that? Do you think it's important? See, so many people in Christianity want to wait until they see the whole picture before they move. And I'm going to tell you something. God does not operate that way. You will not, I repeat, you will not see the end from the beginning. God sees it. God is saying, come and see. Amen. Well, Lord, how am I going to make a living? How am I going to feed my children? Come and see. Oh, but I need a guarantee, Lord. I need a salary, Lord. You know how many mouths I got to feed and all my bills I got to pay. Well, how am I going to do it, Lord? Help me. You know why? Because Jesus is a faith God. When we left our business, secular, you know, all of it, we had no guarantee of it. See, I'm trying to tell you something. This is why people don't step out and serve God. They want to see how everything is going to pan out, how everything's going to work out before they step out. But Jesus is a faith God. And the only way that you or I will please the Lord Jesus Christ is by faith. And we know that it is impossible to please God without it. Jesus said, come and see. People who can't follow the Lord, and there's a lot of them,
because they're waiting to see it before they step out into it. They couldn't, many have missed God because they're waiting to see before they do. Now I'm going to tell you again, that is tradition. You've replaced assumption and tradition with what the Word of God says. Because some people, you know, come and see is what Jesus said, but they translate and interpret that as wait and see. I'm just going to wait. They don't know. Listen, here's these two starting out here, these disciples. They don't know Jesus. They don't know where He's going. They don't know what's going to end up. But Jesus said, what do you want? And then He said, come and see. Where are you staying, Jesus? Come and see. Did they have any guarantee of anything? Did they have any guaranteed salary, health benefit? Just come and see. And they started walking with Jesus. Now, did they see anything? Oh, man. For 3.5 years, they saw the glory of God. They saw God through Elijah speak to Jesus, the transformation. They saw miracles. They saw blind eyes open. They saw Jesus speak miracles into existence. The blind saw, the deaf heard, and the lame walked. They saw the very glory of God. Their lives were changed forever. One word from God can change your life forever. Now, all we've done is read 7 of them. But they got it. They got it. I want you to stand up with me. I got to quit because we're out of time. 7 red letter words. There's only 6 in the King James. Say with me, say, I love the Word of God. It is my life. It is my light. I treasure it. I value it. I esteem it highly. I believe the Word of God. I love the Word of God. I do the Word of God because I love Jesus. How do I know I love Jesus? How do I know I love Jesus? Am I willing to step out on the Word, come and see? Or are you still looking for the whole shebang? It won't work that way, folks. Didn't work that way for us. I mean, Not a whole lot of people step out and serve God with all their being, all their might now. But could you imagine if He showed you all the things that were going to happen? If you do step out, man, you'd run the other direction. But I tell you what, there's nothing greater than the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ being more real to you than that pew you were just sitting in. More real to you than anything or anyone or anybody else. You say, yeah, but I can't pay my bills on come and see. You want to bet? You want to bet? How are you going to pay your bills on come and see? Well, come and see. Hallelujah. Been paying them for 25 years now. Are you with me? You know why? Because God is a God who's more than enough. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you believe in the Lord for a good word? A right word. A timely word. A just word. Oh, I believe it's coming, folks. This is the word for 09. Come and see. I know I got to stop, but I'm just telling you something. We could just stand still. We could just say, okay, hey, we're comfy, comfy, comfy. Come and see. God's got so much more that He wants us to see. All we got to do is be willing to come. Amen?
Amen?
To walk by faith and not by sight. Come on, lift your hand up all over the room. Just